I'm just super excited because to me it's like I can really hear God crying out to his church to stand up. I think for too long the church was silent. And when I say the church, it's each of us. The church is not an organization. The church is a group of people. And for a while now, it was really like I could hear the voice of God crying out for the church to stand up. And I think for too long, people were sitting back waiting in church for the church to do something while they are the church. So my prayer really is this morning for you as well, that you'll really get to that place of finding out what's on God's heart for you. Where does he want you to get involved with? And you know, something like what Sarah just shared, I can tell you that's a place where God is busy doing something. And if you're not busy doing something, then get behind her and help her to do what God called her to do. So this morning, on your seat, there's two papers. The one is that babies cry. And basically, just practically how it's going to work is every Sunday when you come to church, that Procorus bin that's there, it's not a dustbin. So whatever you want to bring, please bring it to church on the Sunday and put it in the bin. If it's something, you can see there's a little list of the kind of stuff they're looking for. If it's something that's on that list, we'll take it out of the bin and we'll give it to her. If it's something else, whether it's clothing for adults or anything else, food or whatever, we'll distribute that to other places. But I think it's important that we get into a culture of giving, that we'll get used to coming on Sunday, to church on a Sunday, where our kids are supposed to ask you, so what we're taking to church today? Because it's not about money and other things, it's about making a difference. But it's impossible for people like Sarah to make a difference if we don't back her. In a sense, what I want to share about today fits in perfectly with that. Last weekend, I was in Zambia at the Africa Mission Conference from OM. That's Operation Mobilization. And it was just such a blessing to me to be able to sit in a hall or in a place there in Zambia with close to 800 missionaries. People that know what it means to give up everything. People that knows what it means to put their trust in God. Because I think a lot of times we might say, but we trust God, but still, I think we look at our salaries and other things. But it was humbling for me to sit there last weekend in Zambia and knowing how these people, when they talk about God and when they talk about trusting God, it means something different than I think what it means to us. And something else that really blessed me is I think a lot of times we don't realize it, but the places we come from, maybe our culture, maybe the groups we find ourselves in, it changed the way we look at things. It's almost like you've got this pair of glasses that you're putting on, and everything in life that you're looking at, you look at it through that glasses. Because maybe our culture, it makes us look at things a certain way. The group that we're moving in, it makes us look at things a certain way. And the thing that blessed me last weekend, because I was sitting there with all these missionaries, and it was like I was allowed to look at things through their eyes or through their glasses. So it allowed me to look at things a little bit differently. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share a scripture, a very well-known scripture, and also a scripture that we've been reading in this church a lot of times. But I want us basically just to look at that scripture again this morning through the eyes of a missionary called Lawrence Tong. Now, Lawrence is the head of OM. He's the head of that organization, and he shared on this. But it really blessed me. So basically, I just want to share that with you as well. So it's Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Now, we talk about this scripture as the Great Commission. And I think all of us, we know this scripture. Because like I said, we've been reading it over and over. From verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And like I said, we talk about this piece of scripture. We talk about this as the Great Commission. This is the purpose of the church. It's in, locked up in that 2-3 verses up there. But I think something important that we must ask ourselves if we look at this piece of scripture is what exactly is the Great Commission. What is it that God tells us to do? And if we look at this, I think that's, like I said, that's the most important question to ask. And the answer is simply to make disciples. That's the Great Commission. If you take that 2-3 verses and you ask, okay, what's the Great Commission? What are we supposed to do? It's to make disciples. That's the main verb in that piece of scripture, make disciples. But that can lead us to another question of asking, okay, how? We know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make disciples. But how are we supposed to do that? And if you ask the question how, there is three words coming up. The first one is go. The second is baptize. And the third is teach. So we know what we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to do it? Go, baptize, and teach. So if we stand still at the first word, go, are we saying that all people are called to go out? And the answer is no. But all people are supposed to be part of the process. I want to say it again. I don't believe all people is called to go out to a mission field. Maybe even to go out to do what Sarah is doing. But I believe all people are called to be part of that process. So if we talk about going, the question can be, okay, go from where to where? Well, simply go from where the gospel is to where it's not. That's where we go. From where the gospel is to where it is not. And all people are supposed to be part of that process. But so if someone is going, if someone is willing to stand up, get out, and go, how do we become part of the process if we are not the one going? Well, we are part of the process by either giving or praying. And I almost want to say, you know, saying we will pray is the easy way out. But God didn't call us to say we will pray. He called us to pray. Because a lot of times it's easy for us to tell people, you know, I'm with you and I'll pray with you. But when you're out there, you're as strong as the people that's behind you. Because if the people is not giving, you can't be there. And if people is not praying, then the doors will not open. It's really important for us to get into that place of going in the sense of either go or give or pray. But to stand in the gap so that the person that's willing to go, that's stepping out there, can do what is called or she is called to do. The second thing there on how, the first one, like I said, was go. The second one is baptize. If you think about it, why is it so important to baptize? To go to all nations and to baptize people. And the answer simply is by baptizing ourselves, what we do is we identify with Christ. When you get baptized, it's that place where you publicly tell people that what I'm doing is I'm identifying with Christ. So I'm willing to die like he died. And I'm willing to stand up like he stood up out of the grave. A new creation. That's why it's so important. And then the third one is teach. And I think being taught is part of the process of being a disciple. Because it's not necessary for all of us and for the people out there. It's not necessary to go and to make mistakes all over and over again. But we need to be discipled. And even if we go out onto the mission field, if I think about Harare, where I've been the other day, I remember when I, on my way there, I really thought by myself, but what are we doing? There's so many churches there. Why going there if all those churches are already there? But being there, what I saw and what I realized is God called us to do this, to teach. Because you see, by teaching, what we do is we equip them so that they can raise up other people as well. Because in a sense, what we need to do is we need to multiply what we've got. We need to multiply what we've got to give. So we go out there and we teach so that they can stand up and teach others as well. Because it's not only about us going. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the church standing up in all places. But for me and you, it begins with us. It begins in the place where we say, but we need to go. We need to get baptized and baptize others. We need to get taught and teach others so that everything can be multiplied. Now, if you look at verse 19 and 20, those are the two verses mostly when people talk about the Great Commission. They'll quote that two scriptures. But it begins in verse 18. And the reason why I say that is because it begins with Jesus. It begins in that place where Jesus is being acknowledged. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It begins in that place where we realize who Jesus is. That he's the one that is in control. That he's the one sending out everyone. You see, the Great Commission is actually about the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you look at that verse. Now, if you've got a problem with the Great Commission, it's because you've got a problem with the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because everything starts with him. You see, it's something about being a Christian. It's not about democracy. Democracy is that place where we can be heard. It's that place where we can make a vote for what we want, for what we've got in mind. That's democracy. But Christianity, it's all about Jesus. It's about what he wants. It's about his will. It's the place where he and he alone is in control and can tell us what to do. And we are expected to follow him in whatever is on his heart. You know, Lawrence Tong described this in a sense that really blessed me. He said, but it's like thinking about England. He said, because England has got Queen Elizabeth. She's the queen of England. But does that mean that Queen Elizabeth can do whatever she wants? Does she have the authority to change the laws of England? And the answer is no. The Prime Minister does. You see, although Queen Elizabeth is the queen of this country, she's not the one making the calls. She's not the one running the country. The Prime Minister is. And it's exactly the same for each of us. Because you see, in a sense, you are the queen if I may call it that way, of your own life. But Jesus is supposed to be the prime minister of your life. Jesus is supposed to be the one running your life, although you are the queen of your life. And that's about the lordship of Jesus Christ. But I think a lot of times for us, what we will do is we get to the place of following Jesus where we can say, He's my Savior. But we never get to the place of saying, He's my Lord. He's the one running my life. Because we would like to stay in control. We would like to stay in that place of running our own lives. On your seat, you received a paper like this. If you can just pick it up quickly and hold it in your hand so that you can, that I know everyone is still awake and everyone is still with us. Now, on that paper, it says, my life. Now, I think with most of us, we would like to take that paper and write down all the plans that you've got with your life. You can maybe write down there who the person is you would like to marry. Maybe what that person should be like. You can maybe write down there where you're going to stay, in which town, in which city, or in which country. You can maybe write down there the house that you've got in mind, you want the one you want to rent or the one you want to buy. You can write down there the car you want to buy. Maybe how many kids you want one day. What their names will be. And what schools they'll go to. You see, there's all those things that you can write down there. And then you can sign it afterwards. You write down the date. And then maybe you can submit it to God. Say, Lord, okay, here's my life. With everything I've got planned, will you please bless this? Or you can take this paper, you can leave it empty, and you can sign it and put the date there, and you can say, Lord, you fill it in. That's lordship. But you see what we do is we stay in control of our lives. Because we decide what we want. After deciding what we want, we will say, okay, Lord, here's my life. Can you please help me to get there? I submit this to you. And I think in that moment, God is asking us, but won't you give me a blank page? Because I've got something else in mind. I've got something else in store for you. Are you willing to give me a blank page? But now I'm going to ask you the question, why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult this morning to sit here and think by myself, I can sign this and I can put in the date, I can leave it blank and put it in my Bible and say, Lord, the page is yours. And I think the issue is trust. And you see, a lot of times, we will say, no, I don't have the faith to do that. But it's not about faith, it's about trust. There's a difference. And I really had to go and sit down and say, okay, but what exactly is the difference between faith and trust? And I sat and prayed about it and looked at some things and I wrote something down here and I'm going to read it with you the way I wrote it down. If you don't know the difference between faith and trust, I want to ask you to write it down as well. Because like I said, I don't think the problem with us not being afraid of signing this and leaving it empty, I think the problem is not faith, it is trust. And the difference between the two. Faith is a noun, while trust is a verb. In other words, faith is something you've got, while trust is something you do. Faith is knowing, while trust is faith in action. You see, trust is the manifestation of our faith. We all have faith in God, but not all of us trust God. Do you trust God? Do you really trust God? I want to give you an example or two maybe to help you to see why I'm saying it's difficult for us to put our trust in God. Get something in mind that you really want at this stage. Maybe something that you are trusting God for. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's a certain job, a certain car, a certain house. Get something in mind that you're really trusting God for. Now, trust will say, Lord, I don't have to have this. You can decide. That's trust. Not having trust is saying, Lord, I really want this. Please help me to get this. But trust is saying, Lord, I don't have to. It's up to you. If you want me to have this, great. If you want me not to have this, also fine. Doesn't matter what it is, that's trust. Are you in a place of trusting God? Are you in a place where you are really trusting God? And then for a moment, I want us to stand still at the thing of broken trust. Because you see, I think there's so many Christians that say, but you know, there's been places in my life where I've trusted God and He did not come through for me. I trusted Him for certain things, but He did not come through. So it's difficult for me to trust God. But I want to tell you, the problem is not with God. The problem is with what exactly did you trust God for? Because you see, a lot of times what will happen as Christians, what we do is we're basically saying, but, you know, God, I'm going to give you an example. I trust you, Lord, so that bad things won't happen to me. But something bad happened. Well, if I look at Scripture, I can see that we're living in a broken world where bad things happen. Is it God's will for that to happen with us? No, it's not. But that's where we are at. And you know what? If you're going to trust God that so that something bad must not happen to you, your trust is going to be broken. But if you can trust God that while you go through your bad circumstances, that He will be with you, He will not fail you. Because verse 20, it says, and I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, a lot of times we put our trust in the wrong place. Because we're trusting God for our will instead of for His will. But we're supposed to trust Him for His will for our lives. But too often what we do is we don't want to give God a blank page of our lives. We want to decide. But He's asking for lordship of your life. Although you are the queen of your own life, He's calling you to a place where He's Lord, where He's the one running your life. So with your life, God is calling you to a place where He's in a sense asking you to give over. But to do that, you need to put your trust in God. And like I said in the beginning, I know all of us got faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been in this room now. But not all of us have trust. But we need to have trust for God to be Lord over your life. So this morning, I'm leaving you with a blank page. And it's your decision what you're going to do with this. Because you can leave it on your chair. You can throw it away at home. You can fill it in and sign it and pray about it. Or you can just sign it and leave it in your Bible as a reminder of what your life is for. God is calling His church to stand up. And He will use you in the process of His church standing up if you will make Him Lord of your life. I want to pray for us, but I almost want to say, I want to pray for myself. And while doing that, you can choose whether you want to agree on that prayer for yourself or not. But that's up to you. And don't pray a prayer quick and easy because you feel you need to. When you do that, I really think it's important that you realize what you're praying and why you're praying it. Can we close our eyes, please? Thank you, Father, that this morning we can come to you. Thank you, Father, that I can call you Lord of my life. Father, and I'm putting my life in your hands. I know, Father, it's your heart that every person here will do that. But Father, I choose to give you back a blank page this morning. I'm willing to sign that, to fill in the date, and to give you a blank page, Father, to decide, so that you can decide, Lord, what you want to do with my life. Because, Lord, I trust you. And it's about your will, it's not about my will. Father, I pray for each of us, Father, that you will help us, that we'll get to a place of trusting you, that we'll put our trust in you, and that we will put our lives in your hands, and that you will use it for your kingdom to come. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're sitting here this morning, and maybe, because I don't know all of you personally, maybe you've never got to that place of committing your life to Jesus, where you say to Him, Lord, here I am, I want to give my life to you. You can't make Him Lord of your life if you haven't done that. But secondly, maybe you gave your life to Jesus without realizing what it means. Where you're realizing, but He's actually calling you to Lordship. Where He's Lord over your life. And not just, I almost want to say where we do this Christian thing, now we're just following Jesus. See where this life takes us. But He's calling you to a place where He's Lord over your life, where you put your whole life in His hands. And if maybe you want someone to pray with you for that, you can just afterwards come to the front and we would like to pray with you. And if there's anything else any one of you need prayer for, you're more than welcome to come to the front. But except for that, please enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your Sunday, the rest of the week. So Father, thank you just that we can be together here this morning. And Father, I just want to pray for every person sitting here this morning. And I want to send them out, Father, that they will go in whichever way you call them to go, Father. That each of us will stand up. That each of us will get to that place, Father, that it's all about you, your will. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for equipping us to do what we are called to do, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.